ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं consciousness, and specifically about chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago appeared to bring this beautiful chanting. In Kali Santarana Upanishad, this mantra which we are chanting, 32 syllable mantra, is called Taraka Brahma, which means that this is the mantra which gives liberation. Mantra which liberates us from this bondage of karma. Mantra which saves us from being enslaved in this material world. Of course, our acharyas explain that not only this is Taraka mantra, or mantra which gives liberation, it's also Paraka Brahma mantra, which means that this mantra is giving us special qualification. A very special process is taking place within our heart when we chant this mantra. Basically, when we chant this mantra, not only we get purified or liberated from the bad habits, but also we get qualification to love God in personal relationship, which is much higher achievement than anything else in this material world. Basically, when we chant this mantra, we prepare ourselves for the personal meeting with the Lord. We prepare ourselves how to relate or how to interact personally with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this beautiful mantra And the meaning of this mantra is basically not only to purify our heart, but also give a very sublime feelings within our heart. And the sublime feelings can eternally reside within our hearts. This is called bhav. Bhav means when this feeling towards the Lord as a person becomes permanent, when it becomes firmly established within our consciousness, within our heart, then we achieve this level of bhava, and then we become the most fortunate, most glorious, and most happy, blissful people in the earth. This is what this mantra can give us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri to spend his last 18 years in Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, he was interacting personally with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath. And you can see how blissful this exchange is. You know, you can wash the Lord, you can feed the Lord, you can dress the Lord, you can speak with the Lord. Sometimes people say that Lord is too far away. He is just really far away and he couldn't care less about you folks. Sometimes people say that, you know, Lord is so great, how you can feed him? He doesn't need our food. He does. He himself says, Patram Pushpam Balam Dayam Yame Bhaktya Prayachati. He says, you give me just one fruit, just one leaf, one little flower, and then Ashnami Prayatatmana, I will take it, I will accept it, I will eat it in front of you, because I'm hungry not for the fruit, not for the flower, not for the leaf. God has enough leaves in the spiritual world. He is hungry for our love. He is hungry for the love within our heart, which makes him eager to accept this offering. And he says it himself, if you do it with love, I will accept it. There is no doubt about it. And this is the sweetness of reciprocation between Bhakta and Bhagavan. Sometimes people say that Lord is impersonal ultimately. And on the Vyavaharika platform, on the mundane, conventional platform, we can interact with the Lord, but ultimately we are one. Vaishnavas say that this is worse than hell, to become one with the Lord, because if you become one with the Lord, it means that you are deprived of these feelings of love. And what is the use to live if you don't have love? Once I was speaking with a group of well-to-do people in Russia. They were businessmen, businesswomen. There were 15, 20 of them. And I told them, just imagine that you have everything in this world. All the cars, all the palaces, all the everything. Everything you can imagine is yours. But you don't love anyone and nobody loves you. Would you feel happy? They thought, a little bit, for some time. They said, no, probably not. And they said, just imagine that you don't have anything in this world. This prospect was not very pleasing to them. So just imagine for 1 second. Don't worry. I'm not going to take anything from you. But just imagine you don't have anything, but you love everyone and everyone loves you. How would you feel? They said, we would feel good, probably. I said, what do you want? The first one or second one? They said, we want both. But actually, even when we get some material things, we only get it to gain the love. Sometimes people think, if I have this car, then everyone will love me, because this is a nice car. Actually, nobody cares what kind of car you have. It's not important. But people are in this illusion that, you know, they think that if I have this money, that everyone will love me. No. Love is either there or not there. It's either, it's an ability. As I said, it's qualification. This is what mantra gives us. Mantra makes us qualified to love and to receive love. Because to get this gift of love, you have to be qualified. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is very careful to give bhakti. To give bhakti, to give mukti, he's free. He's very liberal. You know, if you want bhakti, you go to Lord and you say, "My dear Lord, I want some money." He will look at you and say, "Take it." Or maybe he will not even notice you. If you come to him and say, "I want liberation, I want to be free from all these sufferings in this material world," no problem, take it. But if you go to him and say, "I want bhakti," he will look very deeply within your heart. And only if the complete sincerity is there, then only he will give bhakti. Because he knows by bhakti you can control him. This is the amazing power of bhakti. Mother Yashoda, you know, she's running with the stick behind the Lord. And the Lord is crying and saying, no, mama, I will not do it anymore. And she says, "No, you rascal." This is the power of bhakti. The power of bhakti, you can chastise the Lord. You can really get heavy with the Lord. And he likes it. This is the most amazing. He says, the most amazing power of bhakti is that you can control the Lord himself. This is the power of controlling the Lord. This is the most amazing gift which the Lord can give. Therefore, before giving somebody bhakti, the Lord is very careful. He is not very liberal when it comes to this. And he knows what it is, because this is the most important. When you have bhakti, this is a sweet feeling within your heart. And this sweet feeling permeates your whole existence. Your whole existence becomes sweet because this feeling is within your heart. Whatever you feel, whatever you touch, whatever you do is sweet. Whereas if you have matsarya, or kama, or krodha, or lobha, or mada, or moho, whatever, all these six things within your heart, your whole existence will become bitter. If you have this envy within your heart, you know, somebody gets something, what is the feeling within your heart? You become sad, you know, why does he get this nice car? I also want this nice car. And you start working and working and working and working, and you get this nice car, and you do not become happy. Because matsarya is there, and matsarya poisons your existence. You always look at some other people and you don't like these people, and you see that these people are doing better, they're getting more money, they're getting some better children or doing something better, and you're always envious and envious and envious. And the only second when you get nice feeling within your heart, if when with somebody something bad happens, then you're happy. Yes, yes, this is what I want. Something happens to your neighbor, you're happy. This is envy. This is matsarya. Matsarya means matsar. From the Sanskrit etymological point of view, matsar means you go beyond me. That's what it means. You go higher than me. And when you have this competitive feeling, and the modern world we are living with is basically, it's based on these feelings. You know, everyone has to do better and better and better and better. And everyone is slave of their matsarya. Everyone is a slave of their kama and krodha and lobha and moha and mada. All these things are there and within the heart. And Krishna says that the only sane, reasonable alternative to this is to have bhakti within your heart. Because when the bhakti is there, everything becomes sweet for you. You love everyone, and everyone loves you. And the most important, God also loves you. Because you like God. And he gives you everything which you need. He says himself that yogakshema vahamyaham, I personally will take what you need. I will preserve what you have. and I will take what you need and bring it to you. So, what I wanted to speak a little bit about, this was an introduction. Huh? Well said, okay. What I wanted to talk is about this chanting of the Holy Name, how the chanting of the Holy Name can make us qualified, but how the offensive chanting of the Holy Name can destroy our qualification for bhakti. As I said, bhakti, and we have to make it very clear within our mind, is the most important thing in the world. But if we are not careful, if we are negligent, if we don't appreciate this gift of bhakti, if we don't appreciate this gift of the Holy Name, then this gift of the Holy Name can disappear. Bhakti or mantra can very easily withdraw the power. We all know that when we came in contact with Krishna consciousness, this chanting of the Holy Name gave us complete experience of bliss. I remember when I became a devotee, before that I was very upward moving person. I was doing my PhD degree, I was very, you know, gifted, and everyone was talking about my bright future. And then I met with devotees and I started chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. And everything went wrong after that. Absolutely everything. All my career was finished because KGB, the secret police of the Soviet Union, came to me and he said, you will not get your PhD degree, you will not get any benefits, you will be just kicked out from the job. And it did happen. But the amazing thing is that before, even though I was going up, I was totally miserable inside. But when everything went wrong and I started chanting, because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, I became very happy. And nobody could understand what's wrong with this man. My relatives told me, you know, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? You are not supposed to be happy. I said, what can I do? I am happy. I can stop it. I can change it. I am happy. This is the condition of my heart. This is what mantra gives you. If you associate with devotees, if you take prasadam, if you chant the Holy Name, you become happy. But there is one big but, which we have to know very carefully. If we are negligent, or not careful, or not really grateful for this gift, very easily mantra can withdraw its power. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that it's like a rich relative. If you have a rich relative can give you so much benefits. He can give you, you know, free scholarship, or he can help you, he can give you apartment, he can give you everything. But then the rich relative, if you offend him, the rich relative very easily can withdraw his favors. Because it's all based on the relationship. So in the same way, we're poor. Poor in the sense that we don't have love within our heart. And when we chant, very easily our heart becomes soft and we become happy. But then if we offend the Holy Name, who is not different from the Lord, then the Holy Name withdraws its powers. And by withdrawing its powers, the Holy Name makes us miserable. And we are thinking, you know, what's happening? What's wrong with me? And the only thing which we have to remember is that we have to be very careful when we chant. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that there are five amazing effects of the offenses. Five results which can completely change our consciousness to worse if we chant the Holy Name but not doing it properly. It is explained that aparadha, offense, apagatarada iti aparadha, something which drives us away from Radha. And Radha means love. Aparada is something which is opposite to the spirit of worship. When we come to the Lord, we understand that we have to worship Him. That He is so beautiful, He is so kind, He is so wise, He is so amazing, that we have to worship Him. And this sweet feeling, which is the beginning of love, the sweet feeling of gratitude, which is the beginning of love, is the beginning of our devotional service. And when we chant, we have to keep this feeling very carefully within our heart, because this is our worship. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes we do it mechanically. Sometimes we think, you know, okay, 16 rounds, yes. Done. No. Lord is a person. And He wants personal reciprocation, and chanting of His holy name is your way to reciprocate with Him, is your way to express your feelings. And you have to very clearly understand this. This is my chance to say something to the Lord. And He doesn't want to hear. You know, you make a test. You go to somebody and look at him with a very, you know, dead look in your eyes and say, blah, 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 blah. Do he like it or not? No, he wants something personal from you because he's a person. And instead you're blah, 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 blah. You are speaking with the Lord. And to speak with the Lord, you have to invest some feelings from your heart within your speech. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says, if you do not, if you are not really careful, if you are not really attentive while chanting, if you are not really trying to speak from your heart, then what happens, he says, five things will happen with you. And this is horrible things. He says, the first thing which may happen with you, if you are not really careful, is you become crooked. You become hypocritical. Because you are talking Krishna, 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 and you are thinking something else. Your mind is saying Krishna, 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 and your mind is saying joke, 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 money, 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 money. Somebody even made a new Hare Krishna mantra. Hare dollar, Hare dollar, 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 Hare Hare. Hare euro, Hare euro, 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 Hare Hare. So you're chanting Hare Krishna and inside yourself, I need dollars, 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 dirhams, dirhams, dirhams. So this is hypocritical. And you become hypocritical. The hypocrisy or crookedness becomes your second nature. Srila Jiva Goswami gives an example of what happens because of offense. He said, because of offense, you invite Krishna, you call Krishna, 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 but Krishna doesn't come to you because he knows that you don't really want him. And he gives a very beautiful example from Mahabharata. When Krishna came to Hastinapur, and Duryodhana made a very nice arrangement for Krishna. He invited the best cooks. You know, the best, very best cooks were cooking huge feast for Krishna, because Duryodhana knew Krishna likes to eat. In Jagannath Puri he eats many times. So Duryodhana knew, this guy likes to eat, so let's cook something for him. And he gave him the best palace. Actually, Dukshasana in Hastinapur had the best palace. He said, just move out for a few days, we'll put Krishna there. And he made some dancing girls invited, and you know, because Krishna likes music and likes dance. So he made very nice arrangement. He made a whole festival for Krishna. Krishna is coming. Let's make a big festival. And then he invited him. He said, Krishna, I made a special palace for you. There is a big feast and there will be dancing girls there. And Krishna said, no, I'm not going. He said, why? I said, because Vidura invited me and he's going to give me some banana peels. So I'm going to take banana peels from Vidura. I'm not going to take your food. He said, why? I've been working so hard to make this arrangement. This is bhakti. Krishna said, no, this is not bhakti. This is hypocrisy. He said, why? He said, because you don't want me. Duryodhana asked, how do you know? And Krishna said, because you hate my devotees. You're inviting me. But if you like me, you have to like my devotees, Pandavas. And you hate them. And because you hate them, I hate you. And I will go to Vidura, because he is not hypocritical. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains that this crookedness, this is the manifestation of crookedness. We say Krishna, 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 yes, yes, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And we don't notice the devotees. We don't notice everything which belongs to Krishna, and therefore we're hypocritical. And he said, this is the result of aparad. He says, Kautilya is the result of aparad, this crookedness of the heart. And then he said, another result or another effect of the offensive worship, when we are offensive, when we are not really careful, when we are not really appreciative of this process of bhakti, he says another result is ashraddha. Ashraddha means facelessness. You lose your faith. And he again gives very interesting example. He explains what it means, ashraddha. He says ashraddha means that you see the glory of the Lord and you see the glory of the devotee. And it's so obvious, it's just there in front of your heart. And you still don't believe and don't recognize, and you still cannot really, you know, have this feeling of amazement, which is the beginning of bhakti. He says, this is again the result of offensive chanting, when you lose the face, and he gives example of Duryodhana. When Duryodhana saw the universal form of the Lord. At one point, Krishna showed universal form. And this universal form was glorious. Duryodhana saw everything. And everyone was praying to the Lord. Just imagine, you know, the universal form is here. You see the whole universe. You see all the demigods. All the devas are there. All the demons are there. Everyone is there. Just within the body of Krishna. And what Duryodhana say? He says, oh, this is just focus, focus. This is just mystic trick of some yogi. You know, who cares? And that's what Srila Jiva Goswami explains what facelessness is. He says, facelessness is, you see the glory of the Lord. You see how this chanting of the holy name is changing the hearts of people. How it works, and you still don't believe. You see how Lord is powerful, how beautiful is the book, just one book of Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses only, how it can change the lives of so many people, and still you don't believe in Krishna. Still you have some doubts, still you have some problems within your heart, still you think, is Krishna there or not? You know, I'm not sure, you know. Maybe they say he is there, but who knows? So he says, this is ashraddha, again, the result of offense. And then he says, then the next result of offense, or offensive bhakti, offensive worship when we are not careful or mechanical in our worship, is that we become slack. We become really negligent, even more negligent in our worship. You commit some offense and you lose the taste. And because you lost the taste, you become more and more mechanical. You can see it, you know, in the beginning you have full face and full bliss of kirtan. And then at the end you have... You look at us, other people, and other people are dancing, and you don't feel like dance. You cannot move your leg because it's too heavy. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, this is what happens. If you commit offense, that bhakti becomes heavy for you. Krishna himself says, susukham kartum avyayam. This is an easy process. This is a natural process. This is the process which is blissful if you perform it. And what is more easy? You just eat some prasadam, and you just dance, and you just chant the holy name. But then you don't feel like doing it because it's so heavy for you, you know. You just, even eating prasadam becomes a big job, you know, big problem. Because you lost the taste. You completely lost the taste. You just don't feel it anymore. Don't feel the bliss of bhakti. And again, this is the curse which is coming because you are not careful, because you are not performing this process carefully. And he gives a very interesting example from Srimad Bhagavatam this time. He gives an example of Maharaj Indra Dyumna from the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Maharaj Indra Dyumna was worshipping the Lord, he was doing puja, and he was doing it very carefully and in a very nice manner. And then a muni came, one sage, saintly person, sadhu came, and knocked on the door and came. And Maharaj Indra Dyumna couldn't care less. He just didn't move. You know, he was doing this puja for the Lord, trying to see with the corner of his eyes whether this saint is impressed by him or not. And Krishna didn't like it. It's offense. Krishna says that you really have to respect every living being. And if a Vaishnava comes to you when you do worship, you give up worship, you stop your worship, and you worship Vaishnava because he came to you. And because he didn't do this, in his next life he became an elephant. An elephant is not very diligent when it comes to sadhana. He's not chanting really, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He becomes really, elephant has a very thick skin. And that's what it means, Shaithilya. Shaithilya means you become sick skinned, like an elephant. You don't feel anything, you know. You don't feel the bliss. And this is the result of offensive chanting. And then he says, the fourth result of offensive chanting, or offensive worship, offensive chanting of the holy name, is that you become attached to the things which are detrimental to your devotional service. In the beginning, when you come to devotional service, you feel so much happiness, then it's very easy for you to give it up. To give up smoking, to give up meat eating, to give up drinking. Like yesterday I was with one businessman. And this businessman said, 1 year back, I could not imagine life without cigarettes, without wine, and without meat. If somebody would tell me to give it up, I would tell him, I better commit suicide. I just couldn't imagine that I can give up smoking and drinking. It just was not possible. It was just crazy idea. But then he said, I read Prabhupada books, and here I am. For 1 year, I'm not drinking, I'm not smoking, I'm not eating meat, I'm not even drinking tea. And he said, when I feel the smoke of the cigarette, I feel like vomiting. And even when I think about drinking, about whiskey, you know, I just... It's disgusting. And this experience, real experience, come to your heart because of the practice of bhakti. But when you become offensive, all these habits may come back. Srila Jiva Goswami says that due to offense, you may again develop attachment to the things which are detrimental to devotional service. Or sometimes, you know, there is another problem, big problem, watching TV. I will not ask who of you watches TV, just in case. Sometimes people say, Prabhupada said we can watch news, and they watch news, and then they watch everything else. But this is horrible. Actually, this is the most vicious invention of Kali Yuga, because it destroys everything. It destroys your consciousness. It really destroys. Really destroys. It's not as innocent as it can seem or appear in the moment. Of course, if you watch Samskar channel, it may be okay, but again, you get so much Mayavada from this, or whatever, some spiritual channels are also there. Anyway, so, but you get the attachment, and Srila Jivita Swami says, this attachment is coming back to you because of the offenses. And he gives an example of Maharaja Bharata. Maharaja Bharata, he gave up his wife, who was as beautiful as Apsara. And he gave up his little son. You know, the son was so beautiful and so obedient and so nice, he gave him up. He just walked out from his palace, went to the forest because he wanted to worship the Lord, and when he was worshipping with the tears in his eyes. He was chanting the mantras, he was worshipping, he was so happy. But then, because of their friends, he got attached to whom? To little deer. He gave up his wife, he gave up his palace, he gave up his son to get attached to the deer. And he couldn't worship anymore because his attachment to the deer was more strong, you know. He was not saying Krishna, Krishna, he was saying deer, 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 my dear, dear. Wherever he would see, he would look, he would see the deer. You know, he was looking in the moon. And he saw the deer in the moon, and he said, oh, this moon looks like my deer. And he was looking at the trees, and he said, oh, where's my deer, my little deer who's coming to me? I want to protect him. And again, Srila Jivita Swami explains, this is the result of we're doing something wrong. If we're developing attachments which are detrimental to the spiritual life, it means that something we're doing wrong. And then the last thing which he is talking about is pride. And this is the most horrible thing. He says, when you are doing something in devotional service, but at the same time are not careful to avoid aparads, offenses, then at one point you lose everything. You lose the taste. You lose your faith. You lose the simplicity of your heart. The real feeling of worship, the real feeling of gratitude towards the Lord. But then, at the same time, you become very proud and you say, I'm such a great devotee, look at me. Just look. Am I not great? Just look. Look carefully. He says, people become proud. And we can see, sometimes devotees become proud, they say, oh, I opened this temple and I did this and I did this. You know. Who are you? You are nobody. This is all ahankar. This is all false pride because everything is being done by the Lord. And bhakti means to understand that the Lord is acting through us. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sanchan. The Lord says to Arjuna, you become instrument in my hands. You become my instrument and I will do through you miracles. But then we become proud. This is me. Yes.
Yes, I converted so many people, and so many people are, yeah.
And Krishna says, this is the worst what can happen to you. Actually, when you become proud, especially if you become proud by your so-called bhakti, your so-called devotional service, or your so-called achievements in devotional service, this is the beginning of your fall down. And Srila Jivita Swami explains, he gives an example of Daksha. Daksha was offensive. He offended Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was performing, Lord Shiva was there during the sacrifice of Daksha. And he didn't really, you know, pay obeisances or didn't express any respect towards Daksha. Daksha became so angry and he offended Lord Shiva. And because of this offense, he was born next time. Because of this offense, he got the, God's head. There is Godhead and there is God's head. So he got the head of the God, which is which is not very nice. You know. Just imagine, all of a sudden you get the nice, you know, head of the god. And Daksha was very much into family life, and probably his wife doesn't like that all of a sudden he has the head of the god. that was a punishment for his offense. But what happened to him? Because of this offense, he was born again as Daksha. And what he did again? He again offended Narada Muni. He became proud and he became very rich. And actually, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that sometimes the wealth comes to you as a result of offense. You're offending Krishna, you're worshipping him, and he gives you wealth. And this wealth becomes curse for you. Because with this wealth, you lose bhakti. And this is exactly what happened with Daksha. Daksha offended Lord Shiva, but in the next lifetime, he again offended. And this is the vicious circle of pride, because when you become proud, you know, you commit offense after offense after offense after offense, and you fall down lower and lower and lower and lower. So this is the five things which I wanted to talk about, and I have to finish now because this is already 12:30. But what I wanted to tell you is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this blissful, amazing, wonderful process of Krishna Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is, I mean, this is His amazing gift to us. And we have to be really, really careful and really, really grateful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the one who brought this gift to us. He was so merciful and so compassionate that he gave it to us. And his followers are preaching all over the world to continue this mission. And this mission is the most blissful. Once Prabhupada said that, you just, you know, what's so difficult? You chant and dance, and then you dance your way to Godhead. Just dance. And you're there. At one point, you're there with Krishna. And you're dancing till the rest of eternity. So this is what Krishna Bhakti can give us. But if we're negligent, if we're not careful, if we're not appreciative, and if we're not really careful about keeping this gift with us, this gift can be very easily taken. And here we will see now these videos from Kazakhstan. We experience the same in Russia, in Moscow. When the devotees become oppressed from outside. And sometimes devotees ask, why Krishna allows this? Why Krishna allows this to happen? The answer is very simple. Actually, this is blessing in disguise. Because this is what makes us stronger. This what really makes us more appreciative of what we have. Like these devotees in Kazakhstan, they had these beautiful buildings, and now they know what it is, you know. And Krishna makes it to make us stronger, to make us more, actually more determined to go. And this is a test for our devotion. But then, if we don't have this oppression from outside, then, you know, we may be destroyed from inside, from this internal quarrels, offenses and everything. And Prabhupada said that nobody can destroy this movement from outside. Nobody. Including Kazakh government. They will not be able to do it. There is no doubt about it. They're just trying, but they will just, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about. In Russia they were trying. In Russia they were trying to destroy this movement. Now we're building the most beautiful temple in the earth. Finally, they gave us the land and we're building this temple. And the same, I'm sure, the same will happen in Kazakhstan. This is what Krishna is doing. It makes us stronger, it makes us more united. And we should see this as an opportunity to become more united and to appreciate more what Srila Prabhupada gave to us. Really, this is a lesson for us to appreciate much more what we have and to pray to Krishna that he would continue developing this movement, which is the blessing for the whole universe. Thank you very much.